You can't get a deal done if you're not even talking. And the two sides haven't had any negotiations since late March or early April. And it sounds like at this point it's personal. It sounds like each side is dug in. The Cowboys have come out and said what they said publicly at the start of training camp, which Micah didn't like. Micah came out and asked to be traded, said he was ready to move on from Dallas. And right now, both sides seem to be angry. Now, have other people put those feelings aside in the past and figured out a way to work out a deal? Yeah, I don't see that happening here. I see these two sides headed towards a divorce in time. The only question is, when is that divorce going to happen and how is it going to happen?
Adam Schefter on Micah Parsons. Will he play week one? Jerry Jones said like a week ago that he doesn't even think he plays week one. Parsons, who I think is the most attractive of the big names on the trade market because of his age. Trey Hendrickson's 32. Terry McLaurin is 30. Parsons is 26.
Mm-hmm.
He's even younger than that. 26 years old for Parsons. I still think that deal will get done. We have a bet on that, by the way. I don't know if you forgot about it.
I didn't forget about it.
It's up there. Second last on our bet board. Dallas to extend Dak, Lamb, and Parsons. I was a yes, you were a no. How do you feel about that one right now?
I'm feeling very good about it.
You're down to your last strike.
I am.
But the pitch might look pretty good right now. You got a year.
I'm feeling pretty good about it. Jerry Jones, something eventually has to come back to bite him. And I feel like this is it.
Other than like their results, you mean?
Well, that goes without saying. That goes without saying. But he is such a bad general manager / team president. And now it's just kind of like out in the open that he just does stuff to stay relevant in the media.
That's always been my theory, is that my hot take on this is that he does all this on purpose.
And
that he drags
He basically
out,
admitted it, that he, did, yeah. that he does it.
Yeah, yeah. That drags out the contract dilemmas, knowing he's going to pay more for these players, but he gets to stay on television every single day.
It's just his team stays on television. The insane lack of self-awareness on why that would be not something you should be bragging about. Have you ever seen the movie The Big Short?
Oh, it's literally like my favorite movie.
One of mine as well. You know the part where they're talking to Schmidt from
New Girl?
From New Girl, yes. And the other guy, and they're like, I don't get it. Like,
why are they confessing?
He's like, they're not confessing. He's bragging.
Right.
And literally, that's Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
It's like, why is he confessing?
I've got a boat.
Right. Right. He's like, I got three boats. Yeah, we know, Jerry.
Well, you know what he's confessing to? Good for him. What Jerry Jones cares about, and he's proven this. Has he not proven this a million times? What he's proven is he cares more about his team being the most wealthy sports franchise in the world more than he cares about winning championships. Right?
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
He'd rather be number one on the Forbes list every single year.
100%.
I am the moneymaker. I am the kingpin of this league. I've got the most valuable franchise. That's his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's how he treats the franchise, the roster. I don't know why anyone would want to play for a team like that when it's pretty evident that that's how they do things. Remember Jordan Phillips making comments about how, like, they take season ticket holders and like people that like have won auctions on stuff like to like tour the locker room facilities, and they're like tapping. He's like, you feel like you're a zoo animal and they're tapping on the glass versus here with the Bills. Like, it's just so different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys are a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Like, he's like the next, he's going to be like the next main character on The Golden Bachelor.
All that being said, I do think they're a sneaky playoff team this year, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
They are a sneaky playoff team. I would agree with that.
And I have an MVP bet on Dak.
So. The only coach that you could possibly upgrade from with Brian Schottenheimer is who they fired.
Mike McCarthy?
That's it.
I'm reminded Brian Schottenheimer is their head coach.
Which is insane.
The least inspiring. Again, it's Jones wants a yes man. He doesn't care about. He just doesn't care about winning at all, I don't think. Anyways, 803-0550 is the phone number to the Bills. If Gabe Davis is visiting today, he's got a rude awakening in terms of the weather. It is raining out right
now.
Not
a great day. Yeah.
No, we've had some really good weather. It's, at least it's been hot and sunny. And today, you know, at least out the window right now, we got some not downpour. Not a downpour. But it's raining. Steady rain. Chris in South Carolina is first up this hour. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? I say bring Gabe on. The reason I say so, there's a couple different reasons, man. The reason I say so is if we had our chance 2 years ago to sign Gabe for $8 million, let's just say, I think the majority of us would have taken that. And all of our players from time to time have been schemed out of our offense for a couple games, definitely a couple series. And Gabe, for sure, definitely had his games where, you know, he would just be non-existent, no catches, like we've said. Everybody knows that about him. But the thing about it now is, like you guys said earlier, Jacksonville, they're paying for him. I say we bring Gabe in, give him a chance to collect his bag after this year. And, I mean, just think about everything that he could do exactly like Matt Collins, minus the special teams. And second and two, you could use Gabe in motion as a blocker even, because we know that he you know, he's one of our best blockers. And I think one of the telling things real quick is Gabe's rookie year, I can't think of the fella's name, but it was Gabe's high school coach, used to be a former Bills player. And he said that he told his children that they need to emulate Gabe Davis, and said that Gabe was the hardest worker of any player that he ever played with other than himself. And so we all know that he's a hard worker in the off season. I say bring the cat in, give him $1 million, let him try to get his bag after this year. And, I mean, at worst, you were losing Chenault or Elijah Moore, because Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel, because of his contract, and Shavers, because of his opportunity, I think it would be our wideouts. And then the two out, if we kept Gabe, would be Chenault and Moore. So just see what you guys think.
Yeah, I would wait. I would much rather. I would just rather have Moore.
I would rather have Elijah Moore.
I would much rather have Elijah Moore. And like,
if it comes down to those two, like if we sign Gabe, Elijah Moore is getting cut. I would rather see that out in the regular season. Gabe is, like, right, like the Iron Bill Award, hardest worker. Fantastic. That's all great. Yep. Like, I don't doubt that he is even a role model the way you described him for kids playing the position. But I'm trying to win the Super Bowl here, and I just got stopped on a 4th and 5 and a 3rd and 10 before that to the Chiefs because I didn't have a receiver that could get open. I had to throw a screen pass to Amari Cooper because I didn't trust anybody to separate. Why did they call on 4th down an orbit motion in the backfield to Khalil Shakir? Because they didn't trust anybody to get open one-on-one.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't help that.
I don't know what the odds are of that being Elijah Moore right now, but Elijah Moore, that's his skill set.
I'm also not going to overreact to one bad preseason game with Mike White.
For Elijah Moore?
Yeah, I'm not overreacting.
It's probably
about
fair.
That.
When, by the way, the previous preseason game, if Mitch Trubisky sees him,
he's
catches
got a walk-in 70-yard
touchdown. 70-yard touchdown, and how different does it sound right now about Elijah Moore if that had happened?
Yep.
So, I'm not saying he's having an amazing camp amazing preseason. Just, if it came down to...
You're already paying him.
The big physical hard worker that can block and help me in the run game in the depths of my receiver room versus the guy that is a separator, and, well, maybe he can be an impact player getting open on my offense. I would rather take a shot on that guy. Especially since I've already paid him.
I want to point out something about Matt Collins, which is, you know, Chris mentioned, like, Gabe Davis is, you know, can be like Matt Collins without the special teams. Mm-hmm. Matt Collins wouldn't have made the team in the first place if he didn't have the special team stuff. What you got out of him as a receiver was crazy bonus. It was way more than you expected to get from him. If you would have told me last year, August 20th, that Matt Collins was going to have the season he had at receiver, what would you have thought about how good the offense was going to be?
Can I? If you told me the snap count, I would have thought the offense would have been
in
bad.
Trouble.
Yeah,
and
not, like bad by Joe Channel
they got,
which is
what
like
they
10.
Got from Matt Collins was not the plan.
No.
The plan was he was going to be their 5th receiver and be a special team stud. So The idea that you could just swap the production, that's fine. But Matt Collins isn't even, we're not even talking, Matt Collins doesn't get paid, doesn't get the opportunity to play and get paid unless he has the special teams acumen.
That's fair.
So
I also just also like throwing this in on Matt Collins every once in a while. It's so overstated sometimes how productive he was in the offense.
Yeah.
He played a lot. That's the point. He played a lot. He caught 31 passes.
Probably 20 more than I thought he was going to, though.
Sure. But that's because it's relative to your expectation. He caught 378 yards. He caught 378 yards.
He kept Keon Coleman off the field after he got back from injury.
Did he keep him off the field? Yeah. Or is the fact they traded for Amari Cooper is what kept him off the field?
Maybe a little bit of both, but I think a big thing was that you couldn't really take Matt Collins off. He was playing better than Keon was.
I think they tried to replace him in the middle of the season. I think that's what the Cooper trade was. Because remember, Coleman was playing well.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. Coleman, what's the timeline of that? He gets injured and then they trade
Dolphins
for Cooper?
Game.
And then yes. They trade for Cooper?
No. They traded for Cooper before the injury.
That's right. So they traded for Cooper. Yeah, Coleman hadn't really popped off yet.
Nope.
They actually trade for Cooper, and then Coleman goes 4 for 125 against Tennessee, and then 5 for 70 to touchdown
against Seattle.
And that's to me when it's becoming clear, like, hey, they're going to be working Hollins out here of the picture, because Coleman's playing well and Cooper's here now. But then, right, Coleman gets hurt. But it's 31 passes, and it's 5 touchdowns. So, but anyways, like, if you're bringing Davis in, that might be, you know, what you'd expect from him. I don't know what his role would be. If he signed today, is that his stat line at the end of the year? Is he getting 50 targets in this offense this year? Because I don't feel great about that. If there's 50 targets available for a depth receiver, I'd much rather it be an Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel. Ron and Alden's next. What's up, Ron?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I've been giving thought. I know we've been, if we get Davis, whatever, I don't have a feeling for that either way. But our defense, a lot of talk has been about the safety position. I don't know where we ranked last year as far as pass rush, but if our pass rush is much better this year, I think that's going to help the safeties either way, because any quarterback worth his salt, besides Daniel Jones, if you have open guys, if you have time in the pocket, you're going to find someone, no matter how good your safeties are. I think the pass rush is more important. It's always going to help your backfield. I don't know where we ranked the pass rush last year, but this didn't seem like we really had one. So that's just my feeling on the safety. I think we're over worried about the safety position, where, again, if we sign these guys for the pass rush, a couple of them won't be here until week 7 or whatever. But I'm just hoping. I just want to know what you think about that opinion about as far as, will the pass rush, if it's that much better, how much it'll help the backfield? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. You might be a little surprised by this, actually. This is a regular season stat. I could look up playoffs for you, too. But in terms of pressure rate last year, the percentage of dropbacks that resulted in a pressure, the Bills' defense was 9th best in the NFL last year, 33.1%. So 33% of the time that the opposing quarterback dropped back to pass, the Bills were getting pressure on that quarterback. Now, that again, it's regular season. If I go over to the playoffs, it dropped by a couple percentage points. So actually not a great... Oh, no, it was 10th out of 14th. 10 out of 14. So they were 9th out of 32 in the regular season, and then they were 10th out of 14 in the playoffs. So, and that's always kind of been the thought about them, right? Is that they shrink when they get to the postseason on defense. And the defensive line, top of the list for that. So smaller sample size, but
I mean
that is the right point, right? Is they would hope right now, all right, we're not really that confident in Cole Bishop, and even Taylor Rapp is just kind of a guy. And
let's go spend $150 million on a defensive lineman.
That's what I mean. Like, they're
it's not really
that. No, they're hoping that Joey Bosa and all the rookies they drafted are going to come in and wreck offensive lines, and the safeties' jobs are going to be easier because those quarterbacks won't have the time to get to them.
There are no big swings left. Just as much as I would love a Hendrickson, a Micah Parsons, there's no big move left this year. There's probably not a big move left next year.
No, they maybe have a deadline move in them.
Maybe.
On the level of what they've done the last 2 years.
A Cooper level move.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping, you know, to go full circle on Parsons because we started the segment with him. I'm rooting for Parsons to play this year for Dallas. Can you get me one more year before you get out of there, Micah? Because if I'm Brandon Bean, and the way Brandon Bean is operated is he's desperate to find that franchise pass rusher. Right now, aren't you thinking, man, just give me one more year? I don't have the room to get you right now.
Yeah.
Get me to next March before you get out of there.
Yeah.
And if you next March,
we could talk.
We maybe can get you here.
We could talk.
That's what I would be rooting for. Is no Parsons trade until the end of the season. Butch on the East Side's next. What's up, Butch?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I love MSG, love WGR. And to the fans who listen to watch this radio show, I love you. Let me get right to this point. You guys were speaking about Gabe Davis. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that Brandon Bean has reached out just to see how his welfare is, as far as his health and welfare is. But that's it. He's done. Poking with a fork, he's done. I don't even want him nowhere near our franchise. What we have now, and I understand based off of drafting selection, but Terrell Shavers right now, I'm talking about right this second, is better than Keon Coleman. I mean, right this second. He knows how to get off the ball. He knows how to be. He is the star of training camp so far this year. He has another young guy, Christian Wilkerson, who's another stud. I'm not saying he could be on the 53, but he's going to be in that wide receiver room. Now you add Gabe Davis, there's no place for him. You don't have any room for. I mean, he's not going to give us anything else that we don't already have. And to me, it's a waste of time. So don't get me wrong. I appreciate Brandon getting out there, seeing what, just in case if somebody gets injured during the course of the year. We, like he always do, he bring players in all year long. But my thing is our four wide receivers are Palmer, Shakir, Shavers, Coleman. That's the four. Fine, you get your five. You might throw Chenault in there. And fine, if you can't move a Curtis Samuel near the end for something just to get a trade for him, just to get your money back a little bit, fine, you got Curtis Samuel. But as far as Gabe Davis, we are set as far as moving forward at the receiving. Terrell Shavers, like I said, I also want to sound redundant, but he is better than Keon. He's ready to perform under Josh Allen's tutelage. And I'm just saying that to you guys, and I love you. Thanks for taking my call. Keep having an outstanding show as usual, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Butch, for the call. A couple things. One, it's given Shavers a lot of credit to say right now he's better than Keon Coleman. I'm not a big Coleman guy.
I've come a long way on Coleman.
Yeah.
He's had a really good camp. I'm excited to see what it looks like this year. I think he's so I don't know what his year total was. I know he missed four games.
I think it's four games.
Four games. Yeah. If you were to tell me based on his average, like what the additional numbers would be had he played all 17 games, I bet you he outpaces that number by 20%. I think he could easily end up with 50 catches, 875 yards, and four touchdowns. Would you take that today from
Keon
Coleman?
What's the yardage number again?
875.
Yeah, I would take that. I would take that.
Would that be where would that put you on Keon Coleman going into year three?
I think I'm always going to be skeptical that there's a giant leap coming for him. So it would make me think this is the guy.
Leap, yeah.
That he is pretty good. He's going to serve a role. He's going to be the big physical receiver.
He's just going to be Devin Funchess.
A few highlight reel catches a year. I would hope he'll do it in a different way. But would you take Gabe Davis's stat lines for Coleman? 836 yards and seven touchdowns. 746 yards and seven touchdowns.
Yeah, like, I would.
If that's about what he's averaging. Again, but part of that for me is I don't think that there's a giant ceiling there for Coleman. Unless they're ever going to try to put him in the slot. Like, the job of their offense is not to get the most out of Keon Coleman. It's what can Keon Coleman do that best helps the offense. If you were trying to figure out, hey, how do I get Coleman to be a star? I mean, I'm thinking about turning him into Puka Nacua. Big slot.
Yeah.
But they don't have that spot for him. Shakir's got that spot, and they don't have anybody else to play Coleman's position. I've always thought for his sake, he landed on a team that might not be best for him if he indeed is best suited to be a big slot guy. But again, if he's going to take a step this year and be that outside guy and be physical, then yeah, I would take 800 yards. I would take 800 yards for him in a second.
I mean, I definitely would. I think that's probably what we're looking at for him this year.
What did he end up with last year?
500?
556, and then was with missing four games. So he was, that's almost kind of what he was on track for.
Yeah.
42 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go up a little bit. Can I get the 50 at the least? And the touchdown rate to go up? For how good a jump ball guy he is, I think I'd want him to get double-digit touchdowns.
If he's just a touchdown grab guy, like,
yeah, you can be valuable doing that.
Who is his comp today? What NFL starting receiver right now?
Man, he doesn't really separate. He goes up over the rim and catches it. I don't know that there's a great one. He's also the best stat that he had last year was actually his yards after catch. Like his yak over expectation, like all that stuff, was near the top of the league. So he's tough to pigeonhole. I don't know who I'd compare him.
What about like George Pickens?
No, I think part of that, again, Pickens beats man coverage. Coleman doesn't. Coleman creates yards with the ball in his hands. Pickens doesn't. Like the jump ball part is the same. But I think that might be the end of it for me. I'll have to think about that. Who's a good comp for him? I think it's guys that play in the slot, and he doesn't. Mm. So I don't have a good one. I think better than Devin Funchess.
I'm gonna chew on it during this break.
Timeout here.
That we're late for.
When we come back, TJ Reeves. We'll talk about the Bucks. 14 teams in 14 days. When we come back, the Bills play Tampa in the preseason and then in the regular season. So perfect time to get in on the Bucks with TJ. When we come back here on WGR. All right, welcome back. Right now, TJ Reeves. Talk some Bucks coming up next. 14 teams in 14 days.
Ooh.
What's that?
Juicy comp on Twitter.
To Keon Coleman?
Alshon Jeffrey.
All right.
He was really good for a hot second.
I like it. I mean, he won the Super Bowl as a number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
14 teams in 14 days is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. The Bills and the Bucks this Saturday night at 7:30. And I'd imagine that Tampa is not going to be playing a lot of their starters. Most teams do not in the third preseason game. Maybe the Bengals will. I don't know, because they've been doing a lot of Joe Burrow stuff in the preseason. Anyways, let's
Oddly enough.
Yeah. Western Hotline, TJ Reeves joins us now. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. TJ, thanks as always for jumping on. Are the Bucks going to be playing their starters this week? Do we know yet?
That is a great question. Good to be with you on an August Wednesday morning here, nearing the end of the preseason. I do know this. There will probably be a few starters that get some work. This will be different than the last 2 weeks for the Buccaneers, where they practiced with the team that they played. That was Tennessee 2 weeks ago at home, and then Pittsburgh last week, and obviously the Bills were practicing with the Bears. And so since Todd Bowles doesn't get one last look at all of his guys, which basically is the last look for 2.5 weeks before the regular season opener, I would not be surprised to see a few of them out there. Not all of them, but a few of them out there. I don't think you will see Baker Mayfield, if that's what you were hinting at. Probably not. Yeah. We'll see.
That's what I was wondering. The league's, by the way, for those that don't know, the league's leading touchdown passer in the last two seasons in the NFL, Baker Mayfield, which
also
always catches people off guard that that's true, but it is.
I do wonder about this in terms of the game plan. I know nobody's really game planning in the preseason, but like these two teams play in the regular season, which I think is pretty rare.
Yeah, I don't think, TJ, though, you'll see any. Neither team's doing anything you'll see in the regular season, I bet.
That's right. And that has been brought up a couple of times down here that If you thought you were going to see anything that resembles game plan or strategy in the preseason, you definitely won't see it in the Buffalo game for the very reason that you just mentioned. And again, that game's in November. That game might as well be on Pluto right now, Sneaky Joe. I mean, that's not anything relevant for August. But listen, fans are anxious for all of this to get underway, and it's a real catch 22. For example, I don't know if you were about to ask me this, but I'll bring it up. Jalen McMillan, the star Bucks rookie wide receiver from last year, back for year two, got seriously hurt in the first quarter of the Steeler game, going up for a pass and getting blasted under his legs. He leaped in the air, got flipped over on his neck, and it looks like, this is not confirmed from the team, but it looks like he is going to go on injured reserve here in the preseason, which means he can't play the first eight games. The first eight games, basically half the season, if that's the case, because he's got a serious concern about his neck. So there's the counter argument on how much should the starters be out there in the final preseason game or not, is you can have something like that happen.
Yeah, that was an ugly injury. I wanted actually to start with receiver with you because of that injury. Yeah. And I had you in my mind, actually. You used to come on with me and said, and you still go on with Sal on the Extra Point Show. And over the years, when there was Mike Evans coming up on a contract and then Godwin coming up on a contract, I would always ask you, like, all right, like, are they going to get out of there? Like, because I've always loved both players. And
what did I tell you?
You would always tell me those guys are going to retire in pewter, right?
Or that's something. Exactly right.
Something of the sort. And did Godwin kind of confirm that more than anything, especially with the reports about what New England offered? And, man, when you look at their depth chart, I guess now it's a little tougher, right, because of the injuries with McMillan and drafting Ibuka in the first round. Like, if there's a team that maybe can sustain an injury or two at receiver, maybe it is this one.
And unfortunately, we're testing that now with the injury to McMillan, because he was going to be heavily counted on. But you're right. Godwin's probably going to go on the physically unable to perform list, and that means he can't play the first four games of the season, because you're protecting him essentially without having to put him on the injured reserve and losing for eight games before the season starts. Again, he shattered the lower right leg. This is a career-threatening injury, guys, that can happen. It happened in the Baltimore Monday night game last year. There is not a harder worker on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers than Chris Godwin. If anybody on that roster can overcome a horrific injury like that, it's going to be him. He's just going to need some more time. And they rewarded him, like you mentioned. They rewarded him with a very lucrative contract. And some people down here were losing their mind. How can you give that money to that guy off that injury? Well, number one, you're rewarding him for having battled the last two or three years and not making top dollar money for that. But number two, you're rewarding him because you believe a year from now, 2 years from now, he will be mostly back to full health and be able to play. So, again, I would not count that guy out to be a factor, Godwin, we're talking about, at some point in this season. They're just going to have to give it some time.
Yeah, he's a player, too, the type of receiver he is. It does feel like his game should age well, even if he maybe loses a little bit of a step.
Right.
But even if that did happen.
Hey, on Ibuka, by the way, everybody's doing their fantasy football drafts. Now, where do you guys come down on the fantasy football draft timeline? I'll pose it this way. Should you be drafting before, like, the first week of the season? Because all these leagues, I'm tainting your answer, but all these leagues that do their drafting and then they have injuries after they've done their draft and people go out of their mind. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Have you guys already done your drafts, or what's the status?
So,
are you waiting?
I also think the rookies, you don't exactly know who they're going to be until you get through training camp. And, like, Joe and I are in a league together –
that we
and
draft.
We draft basically like draft? 3 weeks after the draft.
Yeah, but that's a dynasty league.
It's a dynasty
league.
So.
Okay, that's a dynasty league.
But my normal drafts, I would say, are like this weekend, last weekend, and like it's like these couple weeks in August, I would say.
Definitely
is like most
should
of them.
Wait until the preseason is over for injury. I'm just saying, again, to you guys, Emeka Ibuka looks like the real deal. And now that we know he's basically going to be the number two receiver, probably next to Mike Evans, at the beginning of the Buccaneer season, his draft stock is going to go up. And I'm telling you, I've watched 30 years of Buccaneer training camp in the media, and he is as polished a college receiver, and that includes Evans. But it's in terms of route running, the things you're looking for, I mean, Todd Bowles keeps talking about this. that you watch him and he does not move and run routes and cut like a rookie. He looks like an NFL-type wide receiver. So there's a lot of expectation that's on him. Great hands out of the lineage of Ohio State that's had Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson of the Jets, Terry McLaurin of the Commanders, Jackson Smith and Jigba of the Seahawks. All of those guys have basically been around Ohio State along with Buka over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. This guy can make a real impact. Stay tuned. Stay tuned that he will be a factor early on in this year, and he's somebody to keep an eye on for fantasy football. A little fantasy advice on the Mighty WGR this morning.
I could have used you a month ago. Again, maybe part of your point here is, hey, maybe wait for training camp. This Dynasty League that Nate just mentioned that we do right after the draft, I did get Igbuka, and then I decided to trade him for Terry McLaurin before training camp. And now, I feel worse and worse about that deal.
You should have consulted me, GM.
I should have texted you,
but that's okay. It's water under the bridge. You can't do anything about it. I understand.
Very quickly, what's the rest of it look like for Tampa? The defense, especially expectations this year, because it does feel like the offense has so many weapons, especially if they get healthy, that side of the ball should be pretty set. But is it a complete roster?
All right, so real quick, Hassan Reddick, the holdout last year with the Jets, he's down here on a one-year deal, veteran, highly motivated. I think he makes a big impact. Bucks have great defensive tackles. Vita Vea, who's as big as a school building, former number one pick, Kalijah Kancey. I don't know how much, if at all, those guys are going to play on Saturday in this preseason finale. They played some against Pittsburgh. Ageless wonder, future Hall of Famer, Lavonte David in the middle at linebacker. They have pieces on defense. Clearly this team is built for offense, but they have pieces on defense, and I'm looking for Reddick to have a big year. Can he have a 10-12 sack year and impact that pass rush that the Bucs have really been missing the last couple of years? That's what they're hoping for.
All right, TJ Reeves on the Western Hotline. As always, thanks, TJ. I'll have to get you back on in like a month when we get to that Crawford-Canelo fight.
You got to get to Canelo and Crawford when it gets to be fight time. Boxing, Sneaky Joe's a boxing guy. Yep. I'm a boxing guy. Always good to be with you. I know the Sal Capaccio and the Bills Mafia are headed down this way. Yep. I guess I'm responsible for him at least for 48 hours or so. You guys have to be responsible for him the rest of the time. I'll look out for Capaccio this weekend. It's a deal. Let's see what happens with the Bucks and the Bills.
All right, love it. Thanks, TJ, as always.
See you, kids.
TJ Reeves on the Western Hotline. Big Fight Weekend also. He's at Big Fight Weekend on Twitter and BigFightWeekend.com. Podcast as well. If you're a boxing fan, really good stuff. And first fight I've been this excited for in like 5 years coming up next month. But we can talk about that.
I used to really love boxing, and then, I don't know.
Well, the sport died.
It died.
It's tough to remain a fan of it.
Yeah.
We'll get to that fight in a month. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. Gabe Davis, the rest of it for the Bills, the secondary right now being a big topic after Sean McDermott said what he said yesterday.
There's also a report 3 teams are looking for a wide receiver.
Ooh. Including Minnesota, who we already saw a report about today.
The Jets, Minnesota, and the 49ers.
The Jets, actually, someone sent me a link to, they are looking at Amari Cooper right now. I said I haven't heard a peep about Amari Cooper. The Jets apparently are looking at him right now. All right. 3 teams looking for a wide receiver. Anybody want Curtis Samuel? Want to take that $7 million cap it for the Bills? It's a lot of money.
I think I'd rather have Samuel than Gabe Davis, though.
But if you trade Samuel, you get $7 million in space.
Yeah.
You want Gabe Davis plus $7 million, or do you want Curtis Samuel?
Fair.
You could use that $7 million to go trade for your pass rusher at the deadline.
Or a safety.
803-0550, the phone number. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you coming back here on WGR. Welcome back. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off. Nate Geary is in. Ahead of his 6th steak sandwich in a row this week. Steak sub, sorry.
Bringing it back.
Not even a sandwich, a sub.
Oh, can't wait for lunch. The best part is I made myself some egg salad for the week.
Oh.
And I have yet to dip in because I've been on my steak sandwich.
Man, you can't sit in that chair and say you're excited about making a batch of egg salad.
I make a mean, mean egg salad.
You should just bring it in one day next week.
I could. If you guys are interested, you guys want to try my egg salad?
Just leave it right in front of that microphone.
Oh, no, that's a bad idea.
Just say it's You can't really hide it, though. No, you can't say it's anything.
Yeah, you can't hide it.
What are you going to say it is?
He'll know exactly what it is.
Also,
when he looks
it's
at
yellow.
It.
Yeah. Right?
You can you make it look like potato salad?
But what? Here's a potato salad sandwich.
Okay. Have you guys had potato salad that has like the deviled egg potato salad that's got eggs in it?
Sure.
That might be the best potato salad that's out there.
It's very good.
It's very good.
What you got to do is find some way to get just the smell of the egg salad and like spray it on his mic.
There is a service that you can create any smell in a spray. Or a flavor that you could put in foods, like an edible dye or a spray of any smell that you want. They can engineer the smell for you or the taste.
Really?
Yes.
We might need to get that.
This just exists? Like,
yes. Like during a show, you just sit in here while like the show is going and you just spray
egg salad.
Spray egg salad a couple of times.
This sounds like psychological
warfare. I don't know if you know anything about this room, but there is no such thing
as ventilation.
There's no such thing as airflow in this. There's no vent.
It's like being
in
an airplane.
So, basically.
Just breathe in each other's carbon.
I spray that thing one time, and it will linger in here for 10 years.
Yeah, I was in with Bulldog, I don't know, this would have been like a year ago. Yeah. And I went to the vending machine because I was desperate, and I got beef jerky.
Yeah.
And he... I've never seen him like visibly mad before. He was like, "What are you doing?"
I guarantee you,
what are you doing?
The next morning, I came in here and went, "What? Who ate in this room?"
Like I've never made. I've known him for 12 years. I've never made him mad before.
That's the kind of thing.
He was visibly red and angry about it.
Yeah,
probably almost purple.
You could have got anything: Pop Tarts, donuts. You got the smelly beef jerky. It's like, yeah.
That's one of his, that is on par with Fritos for him.
I was just going to say, you could have got the Fritos.
Yeah. He does not like the smell of beef jerky one bit.
803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take a break here. We'll get Arthur in when we come back on Gabe Davis and his visit with the Bills today. Whether they'll sign him or not, I don't know. Probably just doing medical stuff. Also, we have the rest of the week to get this too. I want to get some college football in this week. Week 0 is Saturday. Coming up, 2 ranked teams plan. Also, are we just going to do the Dublin thing every year now? That's going to be like traditional? Hey, the college football season's going to open in Ireland. It's like 4 years in a row.
I kind of like it. Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I liked it when Notre Dame played in it because then it made sense. But
you don't think Kansas State and Iowa State and Ireland make sense?
Not a ton of sense, no.
That's a little weird. Arthur on the phone lines when we come back. And more on Gabe Davis. Underappreciated, overappreciated. Got to pull up on that too. It's Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Stay tuned. This is WGR.